Recordings have started.
Thank you, May. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Review of All Rights Protection Mechanisms, RPM, in All GTLDs PDP Working Group Call, held on the 21st of April, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. So if you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
Hi, this is Amar. I'm on the audio bridge trying to get into the Adobe Connect room, but not able to right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Amar. Hearing no more names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Phil Corwin, GNSO Council Liaison and our Interim Working Group Chair. Please begin.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, all of us, and good afternoon and evening for those of you in Europe, Asia, and Australia. I'm Philip Corwin. I'm a member of the GNSO Council. I presented the motion to adopt the charter for this working group at the council meeting in Marrakesh. It was approved, and I was appointed interim chair, a role that I will surrender before the end of this meeting. I want to thank the we've now reached 50 participants on this call. I've checked the total sign-ups this morning, and that is less than half of the total membership of this group. We have grown to 132 members as of this morning, as well as 56 observers, and we thank everyone for committing their time and energy and knowledge to this effort. It's going to be a very important effort. We all know that because of the cost of litigation and the time it takes to maneuver through the court system, that the vast majority of trademark disputes involving the domain name system are resolved through ICANN-created arbitration processes, and that trademarks are also subject to other safeguards, particularly those created for the new top-level domain program. We're going to be reviewing all of them to see if they've achieve their intended purpose, and also to consider whether developments have arisen which require some consideration of changes to them. And after that, we're going to, after that, which is phase one of this working group, we're going to begin the first ever review of the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, the only ICANN consensus policy that has never undergone review. Just so everyone is aware, we being the three nominees for co-chair who've received substantial support, have conferred with staff, and our best guesstimate of the time for completing phase one is in late 2017. So we're looking at about a year and a half of work on phase one on the new TLD RPMs to complete our work. I wouldn't even hazard a guess as to how long phase two on the UDRP may take, but we'll develop working methods and relationships as we go along. So last thing I'll say on that, because of the intensity of this work and the length it's going to consume, I would guess that once our work is over, there will not be another substantive review of these RPMs, including the UDRP, for probably a decade or more. So our work will be of lasting value and will be the rules of the road going forward for at least a decade or two in regard to trademark disputes within the domain name system. So welcome to all of you for volunteering your time to this very important work before us. As the staff noted, with over 52 people now on the call, we are not going to take a verbal roll call, and we've taken note of those solely on the phone and not in the chat room. We'll ask one more time before the end of the call whether anyone else is joined by phone who's not in the chat room. But if you're in the chat room, your attendance has been recorded. On item three on the agenda, introductions, that's simply a reminder that while you're all required to post statements of interest, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, if you when you join the group, please send around a short introduction to the other members on the working group list, just introducing yourself. It helps us to know the background and perspective of everyone who's becoming a member of this group. On the statements of interest, in reviewing the list this morning, I would guesstimate that somewhere between 10 and 15% of those who have joined as members of the group have yet to post statements of interest. This is mandatory, not optional. To be a member of an ICANN working group, you must post a statement of interest. It's very easy to fill out the form on the website. I would say it takes less than 5 minutes, but we're going to review that next week, and please don't procrastinate, because somewhere in the next call or two, if you haven't filled out that statement of interest, you're going to be relegated to observer status until you do. Excuse me, apologize, but it's spring in Washington and the time of intense pollen in the air. Okay, moving on to item four, principles of transparency and openness. There are extensive guidelines that set the rules for policy development process working groups created by the GNSO that set forth the powers of the chairs and the rules for procedure. Those are available at the GNSO website. Maybe staff can post a link to that in the chat room for anyone who hasn't looked at that yet. I know I posted that in an email a little over a week ago. But the key thing here is that everything we do, every decision we make, all of our policy discussions and decisions, everything is completely transparent and open. We aim to have a system where everyone has an opportunity to weigh in, despite the number of people in this group. It is true that the chair or co-chairs are going to be holding offline discussions, but the chairs do not make decisions here. The chairs simply manage the process and may suggest ways to move forward at times when there's debate within the group or some disagreement about how to proceed forward, and then the chairs will propose a way forward on contentious issues. But ultimately, everything we do is clear for everyone to see. There's a written record every working group call. There's a transcript of everything in the chat room. There's a MP3 audio recording and a transcript of everything that's said online. And, of course, when we complete our work, we issue a draft report, which is subject to comment by the entire ICANN community. And then we take all those comments into account and revise and propose a final report. So it's a very structured process and one that is completely open and transparent. So everyone should be aware that everything you say and do within this working group is on the record. Are there any questions on that? I'll stop there to see if there are any questions. And by the way, for those of you who have not been on a working group before, when you're in the Adobe chat room, if you wish to make a comment or ask a question, you click on the ICANN. You'll see a bunch of ICANNs at the top of the box, the Adobe meeting room. There's one for muting your speakers. There's one for looks like a phone. And then there's one with someone raising their hand, and you click on that and raise your hand, and that's how we queue up for questions and comments for those of you who have not been through this process before. All right, so we are now in up to item five, which is the selection of working group leaders. I will present this. We have had three candidates for chair. who have received substantial support from members of this working group. One is myself. One is J. Scott Evans, also a member of the business constituency with extensive background in trademark law. In fact, he's immediate past president of the International Trademark Association. And the other is Kathy Kleiman from the non-constituency part of the non-contracted party house, the non-commercial part. And both Kathy and J. Scott were involved with the drafting of the original UDRP. I don't go back that far, but I have been involved with ICANN work for about a decade now. You've all received my candidate statement yesterday. I will note for the record that two other names were put forward. One was Petter Rinforth. I know Petter very well, member of the IPC from Stockholm, and my co-chair of another ICANN working group, which is wrapping up its work. Petter has made clear to us that he is most interested in chairing a subgroup, and we do intend to create a number of subgroups to facilitate our work in an efficient way as we go forward, as not interested in a full co-chair position. And the other person who self-nominated was Danny Glicks. We welcome Mr. Glicks to this working group and the contributions he'll make, but I will note he did not receive any further support for his self-nomination. So on Tuesday, J. Scott, Kathy, and myself issued a joint statement for consideration by the working group, reflecting a phone call we had been on together last Friday. We agreed amongst ourselves that we feel we can work in a very cooperative and effective way as co-equal co-chairs to share the duties of managing this working group in a very collegial and cooperative way. We've all worked together on other things. Our intent would be to rotate the chairing of these meetings so that each of us alternatively chairs these meetings, as I'm doing today. We will strive to make decisions on the way forward by full consensus among ourselves on those occasions, which we hope are rare, where we can agree on the best way to move forward. We will share our separate views with the working group, and the working group will decide the way forward by consensus. So that is the leadership package that's been presented for consideration of the working group. So I'll open it up at this time to see if anyone has objections to that proposal for, in effect, a troika leadership, three co-equal co-chairs, J. Scott, Kathy Kleiman, and myself, or if anyone wishes to propose a different way forward. And I'll wait a few seconds here to see if any hands go up on that. And seeing none, let me ask staff, what is the proper procedural way forward to present a motion or other, means of affecting that? And also, while staff is considering how to answer that, I'm going to ask whether J. Scott or Kathy have any statements they'd like to make before we get to that stage of the proceeding. J. Scott, Kathy, I see Kathy.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Why don't you go ahead since you're on the line, and then we'll hear from Kathy.
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. I'm J. Scott Evans. I have been in. I'll give a brief. I didn't go into the extended candidate statement that Phil did because I have a big presentation to my general counsel later today. So I apologize. I've been focusing on paycheck. But I wanted to just quickly, for those of you that don't know me, I know many of you, as I look in the chat room, are familiar with me. Some I know quite well. Others I have just worked with over the phone, such as Almer, who worked with me on the implementation versus policy working group. I have been involved in ICANN since its inception in 1998. I was a member of the small drafting team that included Kathy Kleiman, who is on this call and also a candidate for co-chair, in crafting and refining the UDRP and the rules of procedure. I also served as a member of the implementation review team that put together all of the suggested RPMs for the new GTLDs, which then Kathy worked to refine in the STI. So I have chaired three or four working groups. Only one did I co-chair. That was with Chuck Gomes. I also chaired the working group that put together the working group guidelines, which you should familiarize yourself with. It sort of explains how these groups work. I've known Kathy since 1998, although I didn't physically meet her until probably 2 or 3 years later. And I've known Phil since his first involvement in ICANN some 10 years ago. I think both of them are people that are reasonable and that we can work with. I think that we're all adults here. The most important thing for a chair is two things. One is to make sure to work with staff to ensure that the process moves smoothly and that every voice has an opportunity to be heard and every view has an opportunity to be considered by the whole. I think also it's important that chairs who do have a right under the working group principles and under ICANN just historically to have a viewpoint and are allowed to advocate, that they just identify when they're taking off their chair hat and when they're advocating a particular position for either themselves, their personal view, or constituents whom they may represent. Given those parameters, I think that we can move this forward. We have a lot of hard work ahead of us. You know, the one thing I will ask is that, you know, you give us your support by attending the calls and being responsive and being honest with what you can and cannot handle, and that we are all respectful and considerate of others, even those that may share views that we don't necessarily agree with. And with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Kleiman so that she can make a brief statement.
Thank you, Jay Scott. Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you clear.
Terrific.
On my end.
Welcome, everyone. And it's a pleasure to be kicking off with this many people on the working group and on the call. Like Jay Scott, I wanted to give a little bit more background just for a second. I am with Fletcher Hilden Hildreth in Northern Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. We are the United States' oldest telecommunications law firm, and I'm the co-founder here of the Internet Law and Policy Practice. In addition, I'm the co-founder of ICANN's non-commercial users constituency, which, as Dave Scott mentioned, puts me back to the beginning and the founding of ICANN. So it's been an almost 20-year process of being in internet law and policy. With Jay Scott and a few other very hardworking people, we were on the final drafting team of the UDRP. I was also one of the leaders of the non-commercial stakeholder group's team on the STI, which was the GNSO's special team to work through the final rules of the Uniform Rapid Suspension and the Trademark Clearinghouse. I join with Phil and Jay Scott in sharing that it really is in a spirit of mutual respect, to quote the letter that we issued together, that we are coming forward to chair what we think will be a long and important process. With a good leadership team and a great working group team, I think we have a special opportunity to review the rules that we put into place, including the oldest consensus policy in ICANN, which is the UDRP, and really ensure that these rules are fair and balanced, both for those bringing the complaints and those responding to them. I join with Phil in thinking that we're creating the rules for the next 10 or 20 years, and with Jay Scott, and that we look forward to working with you and doing this in a very collaborative and open manner. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jay Scott, and thank you, Kathy. On my own behalf, I'm not going to. I sent a long bio yesterday, so I'm not going to say much on my background other than that I've been involved in public policy development for four decades as a staff member at the United States Senate, as a registered lobbyist, and within the world of ICANN for the past decade. And I can't think of two better people or more qualified people to work with in managing this working group. On the need for mutual respect, one of the things I did note in my bio yesterday was that early on in my career when I worked at the U.S. Senate, the operating principle was we can disagree without being disagreeable. And I hope that that's the way every member of this working group will conduct themselves throughout our work. I'm sure there'll be some issues and some moments where things get a bit tense, but we can disagree on policy matters without casting any aspersions on one another as people. And, of course, we all have to abide by the ICANN's expected standards of behavior as well. You're asked to, when you join each Adobe chat, they are there for your review, and you have to click OK, which indicates that, well, you will conduct yourself under those standards in each and every working group meeting, and they are there to facilitate a productive and constructive process and to keep us focused on our work and not on any individual disagreement. So I'll also, as I mentioned them, I see Danny Glix is on the line, and let me also see, scrolling down, yes, Petter Rinf. Either Danny or Petter, did you want to say anything at this point since your names came up before we get to the formal procedure of adopting a leadership structure?
Hey, this is Danny. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Danny.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely would defer to the three-chair trifecta proposal because you guys, you know, I definitely don't – it's my first working group in ICANN, to be straightforward with you. I'm part of the IETF, recently signed up as a IANA CCTLD group. You know, just interested in governance and policy from an altruistic standpoint, but, you know, I don't have any of the cachet or experience that the three bring. But I wouldn't mind just keeping my name in the running for a subgroup if the need arises.
Well, thank you very much for your support, Danny. And, yeah, we'll, as we create those subgroups, we'll have a process which is open and transparent for people to volunteer to lead them and to be chosen for leadership. So rest assured on that point. Petter, did you have anything you wish to say before we proceed?
Thanks, Petter here. I just echo the last speaker. I think for the first, I would like to say that if we select the three mentioned and proposed chairs, we will have an excellent leadership for our working group. And there are many interesting and the most important topics. And we also have to consider that we are such a great number of active working group members. So we'll have the possibility to have comments from a different kind of structure and people that have worked on these topics from different kind of views. And that's good, but it also means that we need to focus on keeping on time limits and the topics as such. And well, I have dealt with dispute resolution policies since they started as a panelist, basically. So I hope that my experience can come to some assistance in some of the subgroups. Thanks.
Thank you, Petter. And as I mentioned, Petter and I have been working together, co-chairing another working group, which is focused on a very narrow issue relating to curative rights processes for international intergovernmental organizations. And we've had an excellent working relationship, and Petter is highly qualified in this field of trademark protection and trademark law and certainly would be a strong candidate for any subgroup leadership position. So let me ask staff now, what is the, maybe Mary or someone else, I see Mary's hand, what is the proper way now for to put the proposal for the three co-equal chairs in before the working group, and do we need a formal vote, or can we simply ask whether there's any something a little less formal? I see Mary's hand up, so I'm going to defer to her expertise.
Thank you, Phil. I don't know about expertise, but I'll try to answer this question. And hello, everybody. Welcome to our working group, Mary from staff. So the working guidelines don't specify any particular procedure or a vote for the selection of the chair, co-chairs, or vice chairs. There is very clear from the guidelines that it really is up to the group in question to select the chair that they feel be best suited to lead the group in its work. So typically, obviously, you mentioned we want to give people a chance to think about candidates and qualifications.
Mary, you're breaking up some,
at least
on my end.
I'm sorry. I'll try to make this better. But anyway, what we'll do is the suggestion to put the names to the mailing list for a certain period of time, see if anyone has any objections. If not, then we'll submit your names to the council as your chartering organization for their confirmation.
Okay. So you're proposing that the trifecta or troika, we can decide which description to adopt, proposal be put out to the working group on email to see if anyone objects, and if no one objects, and I think we'd want to set a time period out of the next 24 or 48 hours that staff would simply forward that arrangement to the council to notify them. Is that correct? And I see Jay Scott suggesting that we post the names for 7 days, which would mean until our next meeting, which will probably be Jay Scott, our next meeting may be in 6 days. I don't want to jump the gun on next meetings.
Until our next meeting is fine, but I just want to make sure we give an ample amount of time for people to consider this and not seem to have rushed it in any way.
Okay. And I saw Doug Eisenberg said, can people hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine with me. So let's do it that way. Let's staff will put out the formal proposal to the working group for its consideration. That will be out there until our next meeting, which will be next week, and we'll get to that scheduling as the last item on this call. We'll see if there's any objections to it or any other proposals, and then we'll lock down the leadership at the beginning of the next meeting. Is that acceptable to everyone? I hear no objection, so I'm going to assume it's the way to proceed. And that brings us to item 6, which is the background briefing to this PDP, and I believe Lars is going to provide that to us. Is that correct, Lars?
This is Lars. Thank you, Phil. Yes, sorry, I had to come off mute. That took a moment. Let me just pull up the PowerPoint presentation. I'm not going to sync this as I will go through the presentation on this call. However, I'm going to paste quickly a link into the AC room. And if you go to that site, it's the Working Group's wiki page, and on that page you find all background documents that are pertinent to this group, including this presentation at the very bottom. The purpose of this is to give you just a very quick high-level overview of how we got here, what the main policy are, policies are that the group is going to review over the coming months, possibly years, how the two phases kind of will pan out during that time. And also, I'm going to look quickly at the next steps that are following this call. As I said, it's going to be very brief. I'm not going to go through this slide in great detail. In 2011, this whole process was actually kicked off with the GNSS Council asking for an issue report on UDRP review. Staff back then recommended to kick this down the field until the new GTLDs are launched. 18 months after that, the review should start. The council agreed to that, and subsequently, another deferral, long story short, in October last year, the staff published a preliminary issue report on the review of all RPMs. In January this year, the final issue report was published following the public comment period. And then in March, as you probably all know, the council voted to approve the charter for this group. And today, we're meeting for the first time. These are the main rights protection mechanisms that the group is going to review. There was just some background noise. The sunrise period and trademark claim services, the trademark clearinghouse, the uniform rapid suspension, the URS, and the post-litigation dispute resolution procedures, those will all feature in phase one. I'll come to that in a minute. And then the uniform dispute resolution policy, as Phil pointed out earlier, longstanding policy, that will be reviewed in phase two of the group as per our charter. And I've been talking about two phases for those who haven't followed the run-up to this first meeting. In the, let me just zoom this a bit more, this is not great. In the charter that the council approved, it was laid out that the first phase will include a review of the new GTLD RPMs only, so all policies you saw on the previous slide minus the UDRP. As part of that phase, the working group is also supposed to understand the purpose and the functioning of the various RPMs before they actually propose changes or amendments to them. And obviously also this should feature a review of the community-identified topics for review that are listed in the final issue report. And also the group is expected to communicate with the ongoing subsequent rounds, PDP, whether it's a fear or a problem, I suppose, for overlapping subjects, but to make sure that it is this group that will take on the review of the RPMs and might receive input from other groups, including the subsequent rounds PDP. Following this first phase, there will be a hard stop, which will include an initial report with preliminary recommendations on the RPMs and the new GTLDs. This will be put up for public comment, and the group is to inform the GNSS Council of its findings. Following that, the second phase will start, which is the review of the UDRP. Essentially, the same procedure will happen that we happened in the first phase, in the middle there of the top row. In addition to that, the group might want to update any recommendations on the new GTLD RPMs, taking into account, obviously, the public comments that are submitted and any parallel efforts that are ongoing. Following the review of the UDRP and any updates, there will be a second, or if you want, final initial report that contains recommendations on both UDRP and RPMs. Again, public comment forum, inform the council, and then following that, the group will then draft, hopefully, the final report, taking account of comments and feedbacks from parallel efforts and from the community, and submit the report to the GNSS Council for approval. And that is a very hard stop back then, which will include, for me at least, a glass of wine, if that's your sort of thing. I can only recommend it, and we probably will all deserve it by that time. Here's the required steps as per the charter of the working group. In addition to what I just pointed out, I just want to highlight the group is expected to assess the effectiveness of the relevant RPMs, so with the input of experienced online dispute resolution providers and other subject matters should be sought. The working group should also consider the interplay between complementary roles of each RPM to seek to more fully understand the overall functioning and effectiveness. And finally, the working group is expected to consider the overarching issue as to whether will not all RPMs collectively fulfill the purpose for which they were created, whether additional policy recommendations are needed, including to clarify and unify policy goals. And then on this page here, you see the PDB workflow. It's just a quick overview of those of you who might not be fully familiar with how PDP works. I'm sorry. At the moment, as you can see, we are in the form working group phase, and the next phase is the top right that you want of the diagonal strip. And the next phase, I will point this out as well in the following subsequent slide, is a request that goes out for input to the S7ACs. And so we will move through this Z or snake up until hopefully the implementation of the policy down the line. And then here the next step, we started the first process, obviously, the first step already, obviously, that decide on the leadership and the meeting times, which I think is the next agenda item. The working group will then agree on a work plan to kind of pan out how they see this develop and whether it will be sub teams or it will be done in Chimera. And then also the next step is to reach out to the community for input. Normally a letter sent out to all SOs and ACs, including the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, to see if there's any additional feedback to provide on the charter and the charter questions. And bearing in mind that there are obviously many of them have already submitted some issues that are already contained in the issues report, so the group should point out that anything that's submitted is in addition to what is featured already in the issue report. I put up two links here to the wiki page and the project page. I know that you can't copy or click this from the AC room, but I'll copy them straight away into the chat. And with that, I conclude and invite you for any questions you might have. Thank you.
Phil here. Thank you very much, Lars. Lars, I noticed that this PDF you just went through is not downloadable from the Adobe. So can you send it around as an attachment to an email to the entire group so everyone can have a copy if they wish and be able to refer to it?
Sure thing, Phil. That is not a problem. I also point out that I just put a link in the AC room, and you'll find the document on that page too, but it will also send around a separate email. Thanks.
Okay. And I'm just going to make a few comments on your presentation and then excuse me, open things up to other questions and comments. As Lars noted, our work, at least in regard to the review of the new rights protection mechanisms created for the new generic top-level domain program, we are sharing the work of preparing for a discrete second round of new TLDs or a permanently open window, if that's the decision ultimately of the ICANN community and the board, with the other working group that started 1 month before us on subsequent procedures for next rounds of TLDs. Those of you familiar with the new TLD program know that there's an applicant guidebook of several hundred pages that took about 3 years for the community to work out. We are focused solely on the trademark protection aspects of the applicant guidebook. The subsequent procedures working group is focused on everything else that relates to a future opening of applications for new top-level domains, and we are going to be appointing a liaison to their working group, as we hope they will be appointing one to us, because it's very important that we coordinate our work so that it all fits together in a sensible way at the end of both working groups. And to repeat again, the specific trademark protections we are charged with under the charter for this working group to review are the post-delegation dispute rights protection process, the trademark clearinghouse, the trademark claims notice, which is generated to a potential registrant when he or she attempts to register a term that is registered in the clearinghouse, the sunrise period when a name When a trademark is registered in the clearinghouse, its owner has a first right to register that term during the sunrise period of a new top-level domain that's opening up. And, of course, the uniform rapid suspension, which was designed as a narrow supplement to the UDRP. So that's the scope of what we're going to be reviewing in Phase 1. So let me open it up now. Does anyone have any questions or comments regarding the presentation we just received? And let me add that next, the tentative agenda for our next meeting is to actually go through all the questions that were set out in the charter on the rights protection mechanisms for new TLD. So we're going to be spending our time next week going through all the different questions that were raised in comments on the report that preceded the creation of this working group, and also noting that those questions are non-exclusive. This working group is free to pursue other questions that have not been brought up before. We are also free if at any point we think that our charter is too broad or too narrow and needs to be adjusted, we can petition the council for an adjustment in our charter. So I'm going to stop there. Any questions or comments? If you have them, again, please raise your hand in the chat room. And I don't I see a check mark from one person, but we need a hand raised if there's going to be a well, seeing none, I'm going to proceed to the next to the last item, which is scheduling the working group meetings. And the three tentative co-chairs have had an online discussion of this with staff. Oh, Susan? Yes, Susan. I see your hand up. Susan Payne? Go ahead. I'm not hearing anything. Are you off mute? Susan is typing, I see. Okay, so she's having trouble with audio, so she will put it in chat. Getting back to the meetings, we are going to strive with exceptions. Of course, we won't have calls the weeks of ICANN meetings and probably the week before or after, given the intensity of the work around ICANN meetings. But the tentative judgment of the co-chairs is to schedule weekly calls for this week working group of 60 minutes duration. We know that we've looked at the various time zones that folks are in, and it's going to be hard enough getting acceptable call times with 60-minute calls. We are going to reserve the right on particular issues where we think a 90-minute call will be advisable to try to wrap something up to occasionally schedule a 90-minute call. But our regular calls will be every week, except for weeks of ICANN meetings and before and after, and perhaps at other times during the holiday season. We're looking at Wednesday for the calls. That's based upon staff availability and the scheduled calls for other working groups that are up and running. We are a large number of participants in this group are from either the Western Hemisphere, which encompasses a few time zones, and Europe, and there are times to schedule calls that work for both Western Hemisphere participants and European and I would say African participants at reasonable times within normal working hours. But we are also aware that about one out of every six members of this working group is in from the Indian subcontinent, East Asia, and Australia, and that scheduling is not convenient for them. So we're going to decide on a rotation schedule at least once every third or fourth call. We're going to schedule a call that's within normal working hours for people in the Asia-Pacific region, and that compels those of us in Europe and the Americas to be on either very early or very late, but we understand the need to share the inconvenience of the calls, and that's something we always face with global participation in our work, so we're going to be reasonable in the scheduling, and those of you who participated in the work on the IANA transition and the accountability, many of us are familiar with getting on calls at 1, 2, or 3 in the morning. It's not the happiest experience, but it has to be done to share the convenience and inconvenience equally. So, again, we're looking at Wednesdays probably for our calls. I believe, unless staff advises me otherwise, we're going to put out a doodle poll. And I see that Lars has his hand up. Let me let Lars speak up at this point.
Thanks, sir. This is Lars. I just want to add to what you said, that we have put up a quick PDF in the room and also the link to that in the chat. Just to emphasize that, as you said, we were looking to find the convenient time, especially rotation, and that there really is no time that will be within normal working hours for all participants. And so when there's been calls for doodle calls, I'm sure that staff will be happy to assist with the doodle poll. That, you know, bear in mind that it will be impossible to have meetings that will suit everybody all the time. And that's all. Thanks, Will.
Right. And again, my understanding is that we're going to put out a doodle poll to members of this working group to get their preference for call times. We're already displaying the time zones for the members of this group, and as you can see, there's no way to schedule calls where someone isn't on a call in the middle of the night. But we're still going to do a doodle poll because some people want to do these calls, prefer to do them during working hours. Some people prefer to do them after regular working hours. So we're going to get a sense of the group and then announce a proposed schedule probably at the next meeting. So again, the key points are the calls will be on Wednesday. They will be weekly. They will generally be 60 minutes in duration, occasionally 90 minutes in duration when the co-chairs believe that's the way needed to finish up on a particular issue. And we're going to rotate the calls every third or fourth week to make it less inconvenient for the folks in East Asia and Australia. Mm-hmm. And Lars, do you have further comment, or is that your old hand up?
Sorry, Phil, that's an old hand up. Put it down.
Okay. Thank you. And can I ask staff, and we're up to next steps and to confirm our next meeting. As I mentioned, the main thing we're going to be doing at the next meeting is going through a detailed review of the questions presented on each of the issues in phase one. I see a hand up for Mr. Agarwal. I hope I haven't mispronounced your name, but go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good evening, everyone. It's about 9:30 in the 9:30 hours. Just a suggestion, the meeting, I think, Phil, you were great here. Just a suggestion that if staff can send out the minutes of the meeting recorded with comments of the chairs and the co-chairs and the speakers, I think it would be very helpful in a summarized format.
Right. Well, standard practice for any ICANN working group, and I'll let see if staff wants to supplement what I'm about to say, is that very shortly after the calls, we all get a email with the MP3 recording and the chat, what's in the chat room, and usually within a day after that, we get a transcript of the recording. And beyond that, the job of summarizing what's happened and proposing next steps usually goes to the chair, where we'll the chairs where we'll meet and kind of sum up whatever we've done in terms of decision making and propose next steps forward. That's the general way these groups work. Did staff have anything they wanted to add on that point?
Right.
Okay. And I see there's a comment in the chat room asking which document contains the questions we'll be reviewing. Those are contained both in the final report that was the basis for this working group, and also they are attached to the charter for this working group. And I'll ask staff to either provide links in the chat room or to provide those links in a follow-up email to all the members of this group so that everyone who wants to can review those questions before the next call, because we'll be getting into them. And again, those are non-exclusive lists. Any member of this working group is free to propose additional areas of inquiry for our work as we proceed. We are not confined by the list of questions. We are confined by the charter, but we have the ability to ask for the charter to be amended if we feel at any point that it is it needs amendment to allow us to proceed in a logical and consistent manner. So, staff, have we set a time for next week's call, a time and date, in terms of item 8? Mary, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Hi, everybody. I hope this mic works better. It would seem that we can try to set the time for Wednesday, which I can't find a date for, at 1500 UTC. In the meantime, we will proceed with the doodle poll so that the chairs can then select the rotation times for future calls. But it may be helpful for people to be able to put next Wednesday, 1500 UTC, on their calendars now instead of waiting for the doodle poll to close.
Okay. So 1500 UTC would be 3 p.m. in London, 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C., 8 a.m. in on the west coast of the U.S., et cetera. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So everyone tentatively put on your calendars for Wednesday, the 27th of April. And I see Ed Morris correcting me on London time. Which is different than UTC or GMT, I gather, in the summer. So anyway, everyone, if you can put on your calendars that our next call will be on Wednesday, the 27th, at 1500 UTC, and there are all kinds of world clock applications on the Internet that can help you nail down when that is. In your location, and the order of business for that meeting will be a detailed review of all the questions that are appended to the charter for the RPM review for the RPMs created for new TLDs, and that will be after that meeting. When we get into May, we'll be starting to get with the chairs. Will then propose a an order to proceed on those separate RPM questions, some logical order in which to address them, and if we get consensus from the working group to proceed in the suggested manner, that we'll begin our substantive work the first week of May. Mary, I see your hand up.
Yes, Phil, and as Sarah Bakke has just posted in the chat, I've been reminded by Terry, thank you, Terry, that at the moment, the quarterly stakeholder update from ICANN is scheduled for exactly the same time, which is next Wednesday at 1500 UTC. So perhaps after this call, yourself, J. Scott, Kathy, and staff can get together by email or otherwise to try to figure out if an alternative time might be preferable, and we can get a note out to the working group as soon as possible, either to confirm next Wednesday or to propose a new time and day.
Sure. May I ask, Mary, how long is that quarterly update? Is that an hour call or an hour and a half?
I believe it is normally scheduled for an hour and a half, although I have do not know about this next one. But it's probably going to be an hour, but it would nevertheless, if it goes ahead, and I believe it will clash with the proposed time for our next call.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, members of the working group, we will have a follow-up call to review the RPM questions next week because of the potential conflict with the ICANN quarterly update call. It's unlikely to be at 1500 UTC, but we will be back to you hopefully before the end of the week, hopefully by tomorrow, with a proposed meeting date that will work for the working group. And doesn't conflict with that ICANN call. So that completes our agenda for this call. So I'm going to, unless staff thinks I've missed something, I'm going to open it up now to any other business. If folks want to raise any other questions or points before we adjourn this call, and we're 59 minutes into it, so we have one official minute left. Well, I see no one raising their hand, so I'm going to, as we conclude this call, we're going to circulate the proposal for the three-party co-chair and see if that's acceptable to the group and nail that down for before our next call next week. We're going to, the tentative co-chairs are going to confer with staff and agree on a time and date for our next call next week, perhaps on Wednesday. I don't know. We may have to move it to Thursday, but we'll let you know as soon as we look at the options there. And the agenda for the next call will be detailed review of all the questions that were raised during the comment periods on the report on RPMs that led up to this group being chartered. I don't see anyone's hand raised. We're officially been on for 1 hour now, so I'm going to call this. I'm going to ask to adjourn this call, and again thank the 54 participants who joined today, which is less than half of the total membership of this working group, and I expect we'll probably have more on once we get into substance. And we will be back to you by email in the next 24 hours or so on all of those items, and we look forward to working with all of you on this important project moving forward. So thank you for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.